Folks, you think about it when it comes to sports. It's quite obvious the team is only as good as its weakest link. Teamwork must abound for victory. We need to strive together as athletes, in a sense, against the opposition that is coming at us. And we're going to see what that means, striving for the faith of the gospel.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, there's a common thread in the messages that we've been broadcasting these last few days, and that is persecution is normal for the Christian. So the question is, if that's the case, then why do so many Christians here in America live persecution-free lives?
Well, Dave, that's what we're going to look at today. So grab your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 27 through 30.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Now, this word's different than what we have in Ephesians 6, just on a side note. It's speaking of standing and holding that position here. This is the one we're looking at from our passage and also 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But now Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love. Faith in Jesus and your love for the saints. And that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. And then he explains, for now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. You can't stand firm in the Lord unless you are trusting in the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You believe what he said. You stand firm in him. Standing firm in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men, Paul says. Don't be wimps, Corinthians. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the Lord. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, turn there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We see the word of God connected now with the standing firm in the faith. 2 Thessalonians 2. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 13. Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. That's the process. And it was for this he called you through our gospel so that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to what? The traditions which you were taught, whether by word or mouth or letter from us. The word of God. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the context of the word of God. Stand firm in that. Because there are people who will subtly oppose it. They will do it very deceitfully, as we'll see. They'll do it very openly. And we need to stand as a unified position in Christ, firm in the faith, trusting in him through his word. Stand firm. Hold fast to his word by faith. So back to our passage. Only live in a manner worthy of the gospel so that when Paul comes, he may see them in unity and hear of them standing firm. So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, middle of verse 27, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit. So the first mark of a biblical church within this smaller context in regards to opposition is standing firm in unity in the context of trusting the Lord and holding to his word in a unified manner in the body of Christ. And to do that, you need to be in the word, don't you? Churches that don't teach the word, churches that don't know the word aren't standing firm in the word. They can't. And we toss to and fro from every wind of doctrine. Stand firm. The church walking in a worthy manner of the gospel is standing together, united in the truth revealed in Scripture, believing in the God who shared it. Indeed, Paul tells Timothy that the church of the living God is the pillar and support of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Hold your ground in unity, together in one spirit, stand firm in Christ and the truth. Now we know that unity comes in the context of like-mindedness. We'll see this in chapter 2 as we get into that next week. When we have the mind of Christ, when we have his word flowing through our hearts, we think the same way. Stand firm in the truth. Learn that we need to be learning it. We need to hold our position, stake-o, holding our position. Well, notice there's also a striving together. Second point. He says that I may hear you standing firm in one spirit. And he says, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. With one mind, striving together, Philippians, all the church there, for the faith of the gospel. We have two phrases connected together. As I told you earlier, we have that we are to be standing firm. That's the actual command. And then we have a participial phrase, ing. Standing firm. So stand firm and then striving together with one mind for the faith of the gospel. Now this term with one mind is kind of, I think, maybe not the best translation, because we're going to see this term mind actually in chapter 2, and it's a different word, phroneo, which speaks of thinking. Here, this word is actually the word psuche, which speaks of the soul or the life. He's saying, and that was the sphere of the emotions, our reason and will. It's our very being. It's our psuche. And he says here that we are to be striving together in the context of our entire being. With our entire beings together, striving together. This word striving together is actually two Greek words, soon, which speaks of together or with, athleo speaks of striving. Think of the word athletics. If you speak of an athletic contest, it's where someone is exerting energy to win the game or whatever it might be. But yet, as we'll see in athletics, there is teams also. Striving together. Soon, athleo. Competing as an athlete in an athletic event. He gives an analogy. Striving together for what? The faith of the gospel. A coordinated effort together. Folks, you think about it when it comes to sports. It's quite obvious the team is only as good as its weakest link. Teamwork must abound for victory. We need to strive together as athletes, in a sense, against the opposition that is coming at us. And we're going to see what that means. Striving for the faith of the gospel. What does that mean? Striving for the faith of the gospel. Well, if you read through the Bible, you've read and understand the Word of God, some may and some may not, as we're growing, always are growing, you'll see that this term for the faith can be used different ways. It could be speaking of our personal faith, my belief, or what is called the faith. What's called the faith. And I think we're going to see that although we all trust the Lord, it's a good fight of faith, not a good fight of the faith, but a good fight of faith, that this is speaking of what we believe. You see, we believe and we have faith, but we have faith in something. And the scripture reveals that as the faith, the body of truth that God has revealed that we believe, the faith. The body of truth that we believe. Striving for the faith of the gospel. The good news concerning Jesus Christ. Striving for the faith. The content of what we believe. For example, Paul spoke in Galatians 1:23, and they said that he was preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. Preaching the truth concerning Jesus. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. In pointing out these things, Paul tells Timothy about some demonic stuff. You can read that 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. Point out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of sound doctrine, which you have been following. We know from the book of Jude that we have been given the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So we are to strive together against the opposition which subtly attacks the truth of trusting in Christ alone and relying on Christ alone. We're to strive together because there will be people that arise who trust in themselves and their own works or whatever it might be. There'll be people who arise who subtly say the right things, but they don't do it. Like the Pharisees. Jesus said, do what they say, but don't do what they do. They say the right things, but they don't do it. We're going to see those people, the hypocrites who trust in themselves and elevate themselves spiritually, who are a danger to trusting in Jesus Christ, the faith of the gospel. So we are to be as a team of athletes on the same playbook, listening to the coach. We're to be striving forward for the body of doctrine revealed concerning Christ and his word, the gospel. The church that walks worthily strives only in this way. Together, standing firm, striving. We need to do that together because there are going to be attacks, and we need to support the truth together and strive against the error that comes into the body of Christ and those who would bring it. If we don't, we're going to find ourselves in disunity and all sorts of problems. And Paul says, I want to hear of this or see this when I come back, that you're doing this. Because there's opposition. Look in verse 28. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but salvation for you. And that too from God. Not being terrified by the opposition. Now, in the Greek, you have a word and there, because speak of and or even. And this is a participle. It's connected to standing firm. Standing firm, striving together, standing firm, in no way alarmed. Standing firm, striving together, standing firm, in no way alarmed. Folks, it can be alarming when there's opposition. We've had it here. It can be alarming when there's opposition to the truth. It can be alarming. You go, what is going on? It can be alarming. And he says here, in no way alarmed by those opposing, alarmed by your opponents. The term translated alarm is in the passive voice. What does that mean? Don't allow yourself to become frightened. It's going to happen by default if you don't stop it in Christ. Don't allow yourself to become alarmed. Don't allow yourself to be afraid at what is happening at your opponents. The term alarm could be translated afraid, terrified, intimidated. You see, when we face opposition to the truth of God in the context of the church, and often that opposition comes against the leadership because they're proclaiming the truth. When you see that opposition, it came against Paul, right? You see that opposition, which comes outwardly or subtly, we can be alarmed if we don't obey the word. In no way alarmed. Don't be terrified by it. Stand firm in the Lord. Strive together for the truth, the gospel, the faith, the gospel. Give no leeway for fear of one's spiritual opponents. Give no leeway for being afraid of what is happening even in the church. Don't let it happen by default. Stand firm, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Don't be alarmed by those opposing you. Remember, the Apostle Paul just shared what's happening with him. He's not alarmed by his suffering. He's saying Christ being glorified in it. And he's saying, you guys, don't be alarmed by what happens to you. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. You see, suffering and opposition will come to the true child of God. And our response will either be a spirit-led, unified one as the body of Christ, a worthy one, or a fleshy one which damages our witness and brings disunity to the body of Christ. When you want to live godly, you're going to be persecuted. There's going to be opposition. When you're about God's will, there's going to be opposition. That opposition comes in various ways and means. What did Jesus say? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And so when we see it from God's point of view, we don't need to be alarmed. We can rejoice like Paul did. Matthew chapter 5. This is an interesting transition in the Beatitudes. He's saying, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. And he'll say that here, and then he'll go, blessed are you. He'll say it very specifically. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's an evidence you are a heavenly citizen. You're being persecuted because Christ's righteousness is actually being manifest in your life. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. We know very clearly that indeed those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. We know that. We know that evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3, it's going to happen. And folks, we should have a unified response in the context of a worthy walk as citizens of heaven. Standing firm, striving together, not alarmed at our opposition. There are those who oppose the teaching of God, and they do it in very subtle ways. Let me share a few examples and we'll finish up. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and we went through this a couple of months ago. But false prophets also arose among the people. It speaks of some just popping up. Just as there will also be false teachers among you, believers, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. What are destructive heresies? Those things that cause us not to trust Jesus Christ. To not trust Him and rely on Him completely, whether it's for salvation or for sanctification. Destructive heresies. Even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. I already mentioned that those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. That evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. We see those are two verses together. And then in Jude chapter, well, there's only one chapter, Jude 4, it says that certain people have crept in unnoticed. And actually, let's go there. Turn to Jude. It's right before Revelation. Because this really applies. We're to contend earnestly for this. We're to strive together for the truth of the Word of God that's been delivered once for all. Because there's going to be opposition to it. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly, what? For the faith. That's the body of truth that is delivered. The body of truth, the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain persons have crept in, this idea like a bug crawling into your house, right? Certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long before marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness. That's a license to sin, by the way. And deny our Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, whatever they do, it's spiritualism. It's like the Pharisees. You got to do this to be this way. Do this way to be spiritual rather than trusting in Jesus Christ. Relying on Him. We already saw it in Acts chapter 20 that they will speak perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. We've seen that. Twisting things. I've been opposed here. You've seen that. By the false brethren. Trying to lead astray believers. Deceivers, hypocrites, those who are perverted and sinning, those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching, those who deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. We are commanded to stand firm, united in the truth, in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel, not alarmed when it happens. Don't let it shake you up, brother and sister. But if you don't know the truth, it's going to shake you up. If you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know how to respond, it's going to shake you up. Don't let it happen. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. Because God is going to use it as a sign of who they really are and who you really are. Let's finish up our passage. Verse 28. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign. Now, that's not the typical word for signs and wonders, actually. It's actually a word that means demonstration or proof. Which is a demonstration of destruction for them. See, your response in Christ, rightly, standing for the truth, united, not alarmed by your opponents, is a visible demonstration that those of your opponents that are doing that are on their way to hell. They're on their way to destruction. But it also confirms our salvation. Notice what it says, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of, literally, you could say, this, literally, of a sign or demonstration of salvation for you. And that, too, is from God. God's allowing it. He's proving and demonstrating you are true believers by your walking worthy and responding rightly. He's proven you're the true thing, the real deal. And they're the false ones. That's what He's proven. It confirms our salvation. And that, too, is from God. And notice, we need to understand the reason for our suffering. It's for Christ's sake. Verse 29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. He's explaining why this is happening. Don't be alarmed, because God is proving that you're the genuine article and they're not. And He's going to explain, because God has granted you. The word granted, a very interesting word. You've heard of the word charis. We get our word charismatic or grace gift, right? It speaks of a gift that is generously granted with favor. I don't think of that word when it says we're granted suffering, right? But when you see that word, that means it's a good thing. That means God is bestowing upon us a tremendous gift that we are suffering in Christ for His benefit or behalf, literally, for Him in that context. And we know that there's a tremendous benefit for those who are walking with Christ, suffering in Him. Your reward in heaven is great. For He has granted, He has graciously, freely given. It's even translated forgiveness in Ephesians 4. Freely given. He has bestowed charismai upon you. Not only to what? Believe in Him. God's gracious to bring about the opportunity to believe in Him. The gracious opportunity that He has to bring forth. And then also to suffer for His sake. You see, there are the sufferings for the glories to follow. Paul would share to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4 that our suffering now is bringing about an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So I don't even look at it, what I'm suffering. I don't even count it in light of the glory that God is bringing from it. Tremendous. I got to see it rightly. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And while you're turning there, we know that we've been called for this purpose, 1 Peter 2, since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in His footsteps. The sufferings for the glories to follow. It's an evidence you're really His child and your response to it. It's a confirmation of your salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, or literally God's heirs and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not to be worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. When you suffer at the hands of those who oppose the truth, recognize you're suffering for the sake of Christ. Now, there's also suffering for righteousness we see in our right deeds, but here, for the sake of the truth in the context of the body of Christ. God has graciously granted to you, believer, the privilege to suffer for Christ right now for the glories to follow. And it's an evidence you're His in that context. And then notice verse 30, back in Philippians. Experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. Experiencing the same conflict, translated conflict, is agona, agonizing fight. Philippians, you're not in jail in Rome right now, but you're experiencing the same conflict from those who are attacking the truth, subtly or outwardly. You're experiencing it. That you saw in me when I was with you, they attacked me, and now it's still happening to me out of your presence. Experiencing the same conflict. If you're a true believer in Christ, you're going to experience this conflict. And as a church, we need to have a united stand with one mind together, striving for the truth, in no way alarmed at the opposition, which is a sign they're on their way to destruction and that we are on our way to glory.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, for that person who's struggling, what would you tell them?
Well, Dave, for those who might be struggling with the thought of opposition for following Jesus, I would say, go to the Word of God. Allow God's Word to permeate your heart. Because as we think about opposition apart from God's Word, we're going to fear or we're going to get upset. So go to His Word and allow Him to encourage you concerning what He has said about opposition that we might face as believers. Now, there may be some of you who are struggling with opposition right now, and I understand it all too well.
Yet in those times, God has proven himself over and over to be faithful, gracious, and loving. We serve a great God who is so kind and merciful and will encourage us during that suffering and will also use it for temporal good and his eternal glory.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.